introduce you to two of the most special people in the world. We were very lucky to meet them as we were kind of researching Limitless Man. We're trying to find people that were truly, truly unique. And they are, both in their hearts and how they think and how they see the world. And they're going to present to you kind of a very different idea, maybe for some of you. But keep an open mind, because if you actually hear the reasons underlying what Mark's going to talk about and Anna, it's a very powerful concept. And has made a lot of happy people, right? Lots.
Right on. Anna, cheers. Okay. Hey, this is my wife, Anna.
Hello, everyone.
And so we're going to be very interactive today. But first of all, I've just got a presentation I have to get through, because I am so fired up. I've been waiting a year, to get here and share what we've got for you, because it's life-changing, it's crazy. And the fun part is, you guys get to be the very first audience ever to hear this live. I talk every week to a group of guys online, another couple thousand listen to YouTube replays, but I don't believe the topic you're gonna hear tonight has ever been presented at a men's conference before. And I'm very excited about this, so welcome. So here's the overview for today. Here's what we're gonna talk about. First of all, I wanna give a quick introduction to this topic and our credentials. You gotta let you know what this is and what it is not about. I want to talk about my story, Anna's story, our story together, a little bit about what we're doing now because of this, why Western men would look overseas, why the foreign women would be open to a foreign man, what's so special about them anyway, and avoiding scams, and then finally, what would it take for you to find your international bride? So with that, babe, I'm going to take it for a while.
Yes.
Now I'll be right back to her. First of all, the topic is this. I want to be very clear. International dating is not just the same as dating women of other nationalities. You may have said, look, I've already dated somebody who is, you know, whatever. They're from a different country. But if they live in your hometown and they grew up past the age of 14, they were local. And here's what I've learned. Statistically, strategically, philosophically, psychologically, anybody who is inherently grown within a culture up to 18 to 20 tends to carry those values with them all their life. And if you don't believe this, here's a quick test. The music you loved when you were 18 years old tends to be the music you love the rest of your life. I still love AC/DC. It's just the way it is, brother. You know what I'm saying? There you go. All right. Do I get an amen from the crowd?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. We're with it. And it's the same thing there. So this is actually dating people on foreign soil. In fact, I was talking with a couple of the other guys here. I know I've talked to Brian and I don't know how many others here are in relationship with women in other countries, but they met them there. Okay, so that's the strategic difference. Second thing is, I'm not going to be talking about doing sex tours overseas. That's something very easy. You know, if you want, there's blogs about it. It's a fair trade. They want something. You want something. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is this, is when you're ready to wake up to an amazing, beautiful, devoted, affectionate, loyal woman without games every day for the rest of your life. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
That's right. That's what this is really about, guys. And as part of my story, I'll get into a minute how I tapped into both sides of that equation. Finally, this is about finding your ultimate match that I believe could be waiting for you in another country. And it's a concept you've never seriously considered, and I totally understand it. I get it. So I'm going to help answer those today. And again, this is brand new information. If you've had bad opinions in the past, understood, you didn't have this. Nobody has. So here we go. First of all, I've been a men's coach for over 20 years. My dad's a pastor of a mega church. I've always been involved in church ministries, from a worship leader, and I was always involved in men's ministries. I had small groups, went through a lot of coaching on how to deal with this. So most of my credentials come from actually dealing with guys in real life and helping them turn around and slap themselves in the head and get their vote on correctly. That was before I got involved in this. When I became single at 40, I'll tell you my story in a second, I did date and travel on four different continents, and this is highly recommended, by the way. And then I met my wife in 2006, wrote the book on international dating, and appeared on Today's Show. Together we did Dr. Phil. We had two cable specials on us. I've been on over 50 radio interviews. We have another television series wants to follow what we're doing. We began hosting live meetings overseas, and I'm going to show you photos of how we actually do this, how guys actually go sit across the table and meet these women, and what it takes and what it's like, and how to win. I've been hosting a weekly webinar for men since April of 2011. That's like over 500 episodes or something. It's a crazy number. I don't know how many it is, but it's a lot. We've arranged more than 2,200 individual dates, including from guys from 21 countries. And today we have over 120 men and women who are engaged or married because of what we do. We have an 80% success rate of on one of our individual tours. Think of it like Club Med for meeting foreign women, okay? That's kind of what we do. And in doing so, we have an 80% success rate in helping somebody begin a new relationship out of the end of that 9-day experience. Not all of those turn into marriage, nor should they. They've only known each other 5 days, okay? But it's very real and sincere and legitimate. It's something that really gets them very excited about what we're doing here. And finally, we were last year the 2015 Matchmaker of the Year, Dating Coach of the Year finalists, and we got the awards. That's really, I'm humbled by what this has really turned out to become from such humble beginnings. So just little shots to back up what I'm saying. Here's Matt Lauer, the book, a couple of cable shows around the awards ceremonies. And some of our events, I'm going to show you a little bit about the couples, what we actually do overseas. You're going to get to see how this really happens when people look in the eye for the same time. And the fun we get to see is travel their journeys. They become, generations are now created because of this effort. You know, we've had now 6 years, kids are born, all this kind of stuff. It rocked my world. It's crazy stuff to be involved. So here's my story. I'm going to just go from the time when I became single again. And this is in my book. If you read the story, when I first became single, this is my first date. Okay, now, this is a blind date set up for me. And she was actually a doll. I was actually kind of flattered. This is, by the way, little hint as there was a problem. This was a costume party. She didn't come in costume.
I just dress like that every day, I'm telling you guys.
I dress like that every day. Thanks, babe. All right, truth be known. And so for me, I just started out dating locally, and it was very strange. The story here was, and you guys are going to relate to this. Okay, my first date ever. I'm like 40 years old, and I just come out of, we talked to other guys, you know, I come out of this 8-month-long depression about coming through, feeling at 40 years old and just driving minivans. I haven't done anything for myself in my life, no adventure. I hadn't been out of the country in 22 years since I was 18 years old. And now I go, the last time I was single, I was 28. And at 28, I don't care, you can still be pretty hot. You know, you're pretty cool at 28. When you're 40, it's a different dating world, totally different. And so with this girl, I was excited. She was cute, recommended by a friend. And we're like, okay, this is the best way to have a date. Somebody loves you and knows you, loves her, and says, you guys ought to get together, right? So we get together, and it was this great date. Of course, I'm going to be romantic. My first date single again. I'm feeling good now. So we get flowers. I take her onto this boat, and I get her a, you know, window-side seat, you know, by the water, right? It was on these dinner cruise things. And the whole night really turned out pretty cool. My energy was good. It turned out we ended up actually making out in the car in her driveway before we went out. And we were like, oh my gosh, she's like a little kid, right? It's all exciting. So we go in the house, we make out a little bit more. Okay, we'll get together later this week, right? Okay, we'll get together later this week. So what do I do when I get home? I'm new to this. I get home, I send her an email. Guy, it was great. Such a great night tonight. I look forward to seeing you later in the week. What happened? So I call our mutual friend. I go, is everything okay? We had this great date. We were making out in her freaking living room. Now nothing for 2 days. What's going on? She goes, I don't know. I'll call her. And of course, you guys already know what the story is, right? She goes, you violated the 72-hour no contact rule after our first date. Are you freaking kidding me? The what? You know, this is my introduction back into domestic dating scene in America. I'm like, who makes this stuff up, right? Well, she actually had other insecurity issues, which we've discussed here today, and I just had to learn. So I got really determined to try to then figure out, you're at age 41, I guess, first chapter of my book, I said her name is Angie. It's actually not. Her real name is Diana. I don't care anymore. So very frustrated, and being a men's coach, I decided I need to study this phenomenon. So me and a buddy of mine named Steve Marks would get together 2 or 3 days a week, and we would read books as we got into Iron John and, you know, Wild at Heart, and we would have shots and a cigar and go, what the frick's with this dating scene? And so he said, do this, Mark. Go on 15 first dates. Just go out. Just to get your feet wet. Go try it out. Try to learn what the opposite sex is about. And don't try to have second dates. Just go out for first dates, right? So I'm going out having these first dates, reading books on dating, reading ones on masculinity, femininity, trying to really get this going. And then I want to tell you about Lori's call to me. In the middle of this, I'm literally on the front porch with my buddy, having a cigar, having our shot. We're talking again about different dates, things I'm going on, trying to learn the lessons from it. And Lori was another one where it was a great first date, and right at the end, I mean, we had had such energy. I mean, seriously, people were telling us to get a room. Okay, this is only like my third date, but I'm like ready. I'm feeling good. I'm ready. Come on, somebody play with me, right? You know, you just have this kind of fun energy. And so at the end of it, I go to like give her a kiss and see where it'll go. And immediately she goes to this person where we're like grinding on the dance floor and stuff. And also she just freezes up like this and gives me a little sister kiss. I'm like, what the frick? And I'm like, okay, I don't know what the issue is, but I'm done here. And of course, the thing was, I didn't know. I was also her first date since her divorce. And she was very withdrawn. And honestly, it would have been a great time now knowing what I know to have just been the man and just taken her, just given her a bigger kiss and just let her melt into the comfort of my strength, right? I didn't know, so I just drove off. And so the next day, again, a mutual friend has set us up, so what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I don't know, it just got weird, so we kind of left at that. She calls me 4 months later, out of the blue. And I'm sitting here having a cigar with my buddy. And so she's going, yeah, you know, this morning I was just out, you know, I was helping a friend walk a precinct to help get elected. And you know, then I did this and that and that. And I'm about to pass out. I'm just really tired. But I was thinking of you, so I thought I'd give you a call. And so I hung up. It felt okay. I'm going like, something about that just really made me feel sick. I know she's trying to be nice. What was it? And then this thought hit me. And it really hit me hard. She gave her best to everything else and everybody else. I got the leftovers. You ever felt like you got the leftovers? And at that point, I'd already been out with these dates, trying to figure this thing out, and this pit in my stomach said, I'd rather be single. I'm not going to be leftovers for anybody again. It's a good, actually, declaration of your masculinity to get to that point, because it actually can turn things around, and I'll tell you more about that. So anyways, in the middle of doing this, I was done being leftovers, I'd rather be single. I got invited to go on a fishing trip in Brazil. I'm not dating, I'm fishing. I'm terrified. It's the Amazon. People get eaten on the Amazon. But you know, it's like I'm a sales guy for this company, and I ended up doing very well for them, so the chairman of the board invited me, a publicly held company, the chairman calls me and says, come with us on the retreat. 15 guys being invited, I have to go. So I went there and I did have a great time. I'm there, you know, catching, this is a peacock bass, but we also, I mean, I got a little adventurous, went out with the natives, we caught alligator, and I have a picture of me with a 6-foot alligator and all this other kind of stuff. And so I'm terrified because everybody told me, don't put your waist deep in the water, things will crawl up your junk. And yeah, I was terrified of everything, right? Even the little guys who run the boats go, you know, by the way, everything here is alive and wants to eat you. And you know, that doesn't help either, right? So at the end of that week, and it was just a life-changing week, you know, that I got to experience this, they said, would you like to meet some local girls? I'm in Brazil! That's right, I forgot, right? And so we're back in the main city of Manaus. It's one of the largest cities in Brazil. And this guy, he was the crow. He was a retired, you know, Navy SEAL. He just snapped his finger, gave a nod, and all the guys of us who were there had a girl sitting on our lap. Wow, this is pretty cool. Now, this is actually my second trip over. I got very fascinated because the first girl that came and I spent the time with that he recommended was adorable, and she just introduced me to the culture. And I got to go to the beach and see where the guys hang together having beers, the women are all talking together, the kids are in the playground, but they all came together. The bars, they all had these girls in bikinis dancing and sweating and stuff to attract guys to come in and buy beer for them, right? But they all came together. They were comfortable in the sensuality. There was no games to it. It was very relaxed. They treated me like a king. And so coming from this thing where I've just been doing this to coming to being treated so royally, I was like, what is this about? I'm fascinated now. And so I became very curious when I got back home. I gotta do this again. So I came back over a couple of times. My third trip over, I met Danny. And she and I just had this whirlwind week that just rocked my world. She was a marketing, she had a marketing degree, worked at McDonald's. And the end of the week, it just crushed us because she wasn't going to leave Brazil. She owned a grocery store, for goodness sake. You know what I mean? She goes, I'm not going. What do we do with this energy, right? And that's where I got on pace to find out, how on earth can I make this work? What is the dynamic? Well, I got to tell you one thing Danny taught me. We went to this dinner, and she told me this, if it's on the next slide here. Danny told me about the men in Latin America. This became very important. You got to understand the motivation on both sides. Why do men do this? Why do the men over there? Why do we have an opportunity over there? She told me the story about herself. She says, basically, we believe all the men over there are going to cheat. They all have opportunity. They have lots of choices. And they, as she went into the story, she said, there's basically three kinds of men. They're good men, complete jerks, and superior men. What she meant by this was, a good man's what they want. It's just a guy who wants to actually be part of the family. They want to be connected. They want to actually contribute. You know, they want to pay a little attention to their wife. And even with the good man, they wouldn't understand once in a while he's going to cheat, just all men do. That's their mentality. I'm not making this up, and I found this on all the continents I'm dating overseas. Second thing was, the complete jerk is typical. The guys don't have an obligation to stay. They're not going to make more money. It doesn't cost them anything. Typically, a lot of the guys over there, whether it's Latin America, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Asia, a lot of them, they will just mooch off the girl. They don't work. The women work, you know? And obviously, they're also not faithful, and they can leave. Typically, there's no downside for them. It's not like here where you're going to have child support and all these legal issues. They don't. They just leave. And so the single motherhood issue, all these different kind of things, the complete jerk is actually probably close to the majority of the circumstance of relationships overseas. The superior man is the guy who's maybe the rich guy, the politician. He's somebody that, you know, has more to offer. But he says, you really don't want that guy because the guy's got multiple girls anyway, and you're probably not a romantic value to him. And so she had told me the story of her dream is just to find a good man. Every day I would get up, I would make food for him. I would make his clothes. I'd have it ready for him for to come home. She says, I would do that again for another faithful man. In her case, the husband she had married had another wife and kids in another city too. How does this stuff happen? It was so weird. And I heard repeatedly stories like this overseas. I go to Ukraine, the first thing I do, the first day I'm there, is the girls there tell me, yeah, the guys here, it's like, you know, you don't better not get passes. They don't stick around and solve problems. You know, if you're sick, you better, he'll say, just, hey, call me and you're better. I don't want to deal with it. He says, you better not, or he'll leave us. They don't put up with stuff. And it's really an interesting dynamic. I'll tell you a little bit more of it, a little bit. But is it really, they want somebody who's going to come and actually enjoy time with his wife, the family, who wants to be a provider with the family, who wants to be romantic with his wife once in a while, and who would be faithful to her. So basically what you're saying is, I'm freaking golden over there. And Donna, holy cow, wait a minute, I qualify. I love to be romantic. I love to be loyal, faithful. I want one of these to take home and keep, right? So all of a sudden I realize I am a freaking asset. And then I just realized, you know what, I've just been fishing in the wrong fishing pole, the wrong bait. Now, this is my own experience, not everybody's. I'm telling you right now, 98% of all guys in this country are going to successfully find wonderful people near them. They're going to make them work. But there's a percentage of guys that I deal with who, in their heart, they've either met another couple who met somebody overseas, or they found something online. Some of their heart says, I wonder if that's for me. And I don't deal with guys who do this to piss off their ex and just to bring home a little hottie and say, ha ha, screw you. That doesn't last and it doesn't work. But there is something as the world grows and you travel and you interact with people and you realize there are really wonderful, warm, sincere, regular people around the world. Guys start asking, is it possible then to find somebody to have a romantic relationship? How would I do that? And unfortunately, the bad news, which you already know, is most people go in the front door through these scammy websites. And I'm going to tell you about how those work. I've become an expert on it. I've actually written extensively on it. I'm on the board of directors for honestdatingsites.org. So I will tell you about that in a minute, because there's a reason you have bad opinions about them, and they're deserved, and I totally get it. But anyway, it just fascinated, opened me up. So here's what I found out. Basically here, you're regular. We're all the same. There's many of us. And a lot of times you have to play games to get over people's damages here. A lot of people are very wounded. We understand this. Assets here are money and power and status. And you have to follow the woman's lead on to figure out where she's at. Now, obviously, you've been learning things to live a superior way. But I'm just saying this has been very common for many experiences in mine. I was just a guy who didn't know what I was doing. Over there, I'm a rare treasure. You know, you could be yourself. And they're going to give you the time of day. They're going to think that you're too good to be true. What? Really? You're going to give me your own tent? What's in it for you? What are you looking for? You just on vacation? Your assets are your character and your chemistry. So what I want to tell you about is they're also looking for a man. The thing I want to open you up to is the power of options. This is the exciting part. If you've never been overseas, what do you have a choice? You don't have options. If you don't know that there's a viable option about the majority of the population of the world outside of your local fishing hole, then you're thinking, then I got to make it work with whatever's here, right? This is a limiting belief. If you think that you've got to settle for what's right in front of you, Even if it isn't what you really want, you're going to do it. The power of knowing that you have options gives you strengths in every area of your life, not just dating. The opposite feeling is a sense of scarcity, which creates fear of rejection because every single one of them has to count. It's the fear of rejection that's the death wish for men. It's the anti-masculator. And scarcity is that hidden seed that says, there's only so many, I've got to make this one work because another one might not come along. I want to tell you this story right here. Now, this is actually Sandra Bullock, but she represents exactly a story of a woman that I met in an airport. I just came back from one of my trips overseas, and I was feeling on fire. I mean, my gosh. I mean, you see what Danny looked like? And she liked me, you know? And I was just feeling so good about myself, about what I was worth, the way I was treated. I mean, and everybody treats you well over there. I remember I was just in a hotel one time, and I called the landlord and said, I want a cigar. She sends her daughter to walk me down to the cigar shop and then asks if I have. She sent me sightseeing for 4 hours. I don't know what she was doing before that. She dropped everything. You come back home after feeling like that, you're like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And so the story is great. So I'm in an airport coming back after one of these trips. Just, I'm so excited. I'm in like JFK or whatever it is, heading back to Sacramento where I lived at the time. And as I'm standing there just mentally just glowing and thinking about how wonderful that trip was and just all this stuff, I hear behind me this little voice. I swear, it sounded like George Costanza. And this voice says, oh, that's a really nice purse. Just like, oh my gosh. And I didn't turn around and look. I'm just imagining what's going on behind me, right? And then I hear this very, very mellow, deep woman's voice say, well, thank you very much. Not everybody appreciates leather today, you know, with sensitivity issues. And he goes, no, I like it a lot. I'm dying for all mankind, for all humans, for all males on the planet. I'm just dying, right? So I turn around, and of course, it was just that picture. The guy looked like George Costanza, and it was a woman, looked just like this, long black coat. She had this beautiful leather purse. And I turned to her, and I just said, well, you know, it's not as much that the purse is leather, but if you killed the cow yourself, that probably would be a problem for some people. And without dropping, without a beat, she goes, oh, yeah, I killed it. And of course, you could feel the energy. She was just in a good space. I was in a good space. It was game on. I go, okay, well then, I have to ask, did you use the hammer or did you slit the throat? And then she goes, we used the hammer. I go, that's good. Takes a little longer, but it's effective. And I had my kids watch. And I said, you know, that's awesome. That's how they learn where stuff comes from. Congratulations. I think that's great. And I turn around and just face forward. There was dead silence in the line. I'm like, God, these people didn't know what to do with this. And I had the greatest time. I never, ever would have had that kind of confidence if I didn't have somebody affirming me of my value. And when you go overseas, you've traveled, some of you guys have traveled, you've been in other countries, you realize a man is just generally esteemed and it feels wonderful. And it actually then helps you back in your own country with drawing out other women who also can be comfortable in your space, and the two of you have a wonderful exchange. Because I didn't have anything to lose. And I think that's a big part of it. I don't want to teach about fear. It's the same thing. I already knew I had abundance in my life, abundance available to me. So that's part of my story. I'm going to give it up now and let Anna tell her story. I'm going to sit on and shut up.
Finally. My story, I was raised and born in Ukraine, and my life was amazing until I came to America and I realized my life was sunk. I mean, in Ukraine, everyone is really hardworking, we love our family, we just don't think of like, oh, how miserable we are, we just do what we have to do. And when I came to America, I realized, wow, people don't work as hard as here and don't put up as hard as in Ukraine. So I realized, wow, I guess Ukrainian time was really hard. So let me tell you about my hard, amazing, kind of in between Ukrainian life. I was born there, and I was born in a family. My parents was divorced really fast because I was not love child. I was just accident child, which is I'm so happy to keep me. And now they're really proud of me. And for my parents, my mom was raising me by myself all her life. So for me, it was my perspective too. So when I grow up, I will have kids and I'll be single all my life, well, until this guy show up. And he ruined all my plans to be single, and after that, we become married. When I was in Ukraine, 15 years old, I already finished middle school, and it was kind of like a high school. So I had like 3 years left, and I went to the college, and I had evening school. So I was working and studying so much because, you know, that's how we do it there. And when I was about 16, I was so burned out and tired, and I'm like, I want to get married. I know it's crazy, right? 16 in Ukraine. But I couldn't find anyone. I was dating, and I had bad experience with men. And why I had bad experience with men? Because like Mark said, lots of guys, they have lots of women. So the pretty girl, yes, then it's going to be another pretty girl after her. So it was really hard to find someone who would want to have a relationship with you and not talking about get married with you. Because lots of guys were interested just in sex and just spend time with you, and that's about it. And once I met a lady and she told me like, hey, did you ever try date foreign guys? I'm like, no, don't be ridiculous. It's crazy. It sounds really, really different. And what's different is scary for everyone, for men and women. And she said, well, you're cool. You can go there, but you have to be 18. And I'm like, dang it, I have to wait for 2 years. So I waited for 2 years. I signed up with the agency. And first thing, I met Mark. It was a really amazing, fun, fast experience. And when I came back home, I told my grandma, I was living with my grandma at the time. She said, so how was it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in love. I met this guy. He was so amazing. She's like, are you stupid? What? She's like, you just went there first time ever, and you were loving someone, guy you just met? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of am. She's like, don't be ridiculous. No, go on a date with him. And when he leaves, go on more dates and then realize if you like him. Well, I was really excited until my grandma spoke to me, and I'm like, okay, well, I guess I have to check him now, how amazing he is. I take him on a date with my niece. I take him on different kind of dates just to see what kind of reaction he have, because if he'll be my future husband, I'll make sure he's a good husband. And lots of my friends was against it, and lots of my friends was telling like, you know what, he gonna take you here, you're gonna be his slave, you're gonna be cook and clean for him only. And it just scared me so much, I actually took martial arts before I got here. But because I was 18 at the time when I met him, and when I come over here, I was 19. So for me, it was kind of, you know, I want to do this, I'm scared, but I'm not stupid. So I'm going to know how to protect me, I will know how to speak English, and if I have something bad, well, it's okay. You know, we all have to try, because we have only one life. And if we don't try, then we're going to say, when we're older, we're going to say, well, I didn't know. What if, you know, back then when I was younger, I can do this? Like, in my opinion, I'd rather do something and make a mistake and just get out from that mistake and say, I'm not going to do those again, because, you know, now I have experienced life and now I know how to make my life better. So when I met Mark, it was magically and different, because American culture is really, really different from Ukrainian culture. Ukrainian culture is really serious people. Like in America, you smile to each other, you can say hi, oh yeah, I like your shoes. In Ukraine, people don't talk like that. If you walk by and someone smiles to you, it means that the person is flirting with you. And girls never compliment each other, because we all girls, we are potential friends to each other, unless we're friends with that person, because every girl has to be pretty. And for us, we watch Hollywood movies and we see how all these movie stars are dressing. So that's what we do in Ukraine, until I come here and I realize, well, it's not like in movies, you know. If you go to like to Walmart or other places, it's like, it's not Hollywood movies. And I know, it's a little different. And for me, it was kind of disappointing and different, because I saw so many movies and I was like, wait, but I have this, and I saw this, and it's all fake and pretend and all for people who are, I don't know, rich or movie stars. And what about regular people? Regular people in Ukraine, they all dress like that, because we respect ourselves. And when we go on the street, what if I meet future husband or future boss or future friend, and I'm gonna be dressed like, you know, in sweat clothes and not having makeup or not having hairdress, then no one gonna look at you. But if you present yourself nice, then people will think like, wow, she's a nice person, I would like to talk to her. And then you figure out what's inside, not what's outside, because everyone is attracted outside first, and then until you speak to the person, and then you realize, yes, I really like this person or I don't like this person. So Ukraine is a little different. And when I met Mark, he was like a little sunshine to me. He was smiling all the time. He was so nice. And I was like, what's wrong with this guy? He's not trying to like impress me so much. Like Ukrainian guys will be like such a macho guy. So like, hey, what's up, babe? Wanna come over to my place? Like, you know, because I'm gonna be talking like that. And girls will be like, okay, yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any better. I'll go, I guess, you know, I'll be together with you. But when I met Mark, he was so warm and nice, and I never met anything like this before. And I realized, wow, I want to spend more time with him. And then more I spent time with him, I realized I don't even want to come back to my old life without him. So that's how, you know, culture differences sometimes so impressed each other. So same, you know, with my husband, when we have different opinions sometimes, which is a good thing, And sometimes I opened his mind to like, no, this is right way because Ukrainian way doing this. And he said, no, this is American way, we should do this. And then we fight over it, but then we see the difference, how different cultures see something special, which is not special here. When I come over here, for me, first few things was, in Ukraine, we have different weathers, and we don't have too many wild animals. And when I saw the squirrel, I was like, squirrel, oh my gosh, I love it so much. Because, you know, in Ukraine, we don't have that. And I was like a little child here. When I go to the park, and I have a water fountain, and I'm like, you guys have water in the park? Really? You can drink it? It's like, it was so crazy, because in Ukraine, you have to buy bottled water, or you have to boil it. You know, it's just little differences like that. It makes your life so much easier here, but you don't understand. You know, I have a stepson when I come over here, and he was a bit spoiled on Ukrainian point of view, but an American, no. And I tried to explain him so much, and then he understood that, and he's like, oh, wow, yes, this is different, and this is not. And just because we have this difference, you know, I able to teach him something what other people don't have, and he have, and he should appreciate it. I guess I probably spoke too much. I was supposed to speak only until I met my husband. Not afterwards. But I was quiet for so long. I mean.
You know, I do most of the talking because I host the weekly webinars and stuff. Whenever I can get her going, I just want to shut up and let her go, right? I mean, it's just priceless, you know? And the value systems, you know, I'm going to get off topic here just for a second because to hear what she has to say, guys, is so deep and profound. You don't understand my daily life. It's so fantastic. The little thing she does, like I give this example. She teaches my son, you always put the card away in the parking lots, into the racks. But it's not just because it's the rules. It's because that space you don't own, that's somebody else's. You have to be aware of other people who are coming after you. And you put it away because it's the right thing to do to respect your space around you. And things were so disconnected with the world around us, they're integrated in ways that make us feel like, wow, I'm a pig. And there's just a wonderful warmth and dignity about their culture. And we look down on them sometimes, you know, because they don't make as much money as we do, or they're not as, you know, involved in some ways.
Yeah, I was making like $100 a month. When if you want to buy like nice shoes or clothes, it's like $300 or $400. So you stay with your family and like grandma, moms, and you live all together. And grandma will cook, mama will support you. You go to school. So that's why we have really, really deep bond with the family, because without family, you're nothing. And we appreciate that. And most of the times we ended up having no money. And then it's okay because we stay together, we help each other, and then money comes and goes and your family stays with you through whole life. So that's when you try to find your spouse, you try to find a person who you would like to stay with him if he's broke. You know, you would like to stay with him if he has some kind of problems, and you still want to be with that person because you like him for who he is, not because what he have.
Let me go through, I'm going to quickly go through our story. She's covered a little bit of it. She used to work at a place making gowns, and she would model them. So I always say I married to run my model. But she worked in the factory that made these. So this is actually the event we met. This is funny. We found this photo later. In this picture, I'm the guy in the black shirt in the center, and she's the one right there with the blonde with her hands up in the air. We were there for 4 hours in several pictures within 2 feet of each other and never saw each other. Literally, she was a minute and a half away from leaving the room. And I happened to walk over to the last table where I hadn't met anybody, wasn't feeling a connection. And I just said, I don't want to go. I got to meet somebody here. So I went up to these two ladies that were there and said, hi, my name's Mark. And she said, hi, I'm Anna. The other girl says, hi, I'm Anna. You're both Anna? That's great. I've got a hard day. This is going to make it a lot easier. So I just asked them out. I said, just go have fun. Show me your town. And the next day we had a long day we scheduled with a translator. And it was after that date that we both knew we were looking for. We were like, oh my gosh, you know, the earth shook. And I'll tell you more about that in a second. So anyway, I got on a plane to join one of these things I learned about called a romance tour. And they invite, now in the case before our company existed, the format they had was they just invite hundreds of girls off the street. And a lot of the times the companies didn't know who they are, but you'd go through and try to mingle and try to meet somebody and talk.
I was in that place. I was a little scared because, first of all, I was there first time and I was 18 years old. When I come over there, there were professional daters there who just attacked the man and sit next to him and like draw the claws in that person so he could move. And she's like, buy me a champagne, buy me this. And we're sitting like, wow, this is this is horrible. I don't know why we're here. But then I would be in a nightclub. I'll just stay, I guess, and listen to the music. And then another girl who my husband was saying, Anna, she was saying things. She was the first time, and we were together sitting like a scary kid. And it's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? We have no idea. And guys come to us and talk to us. And it was, they were like so unattractive and I don't know. I don't want to offend anyone. They were just so different and not in a good way. They were like, oh, look, I'm funny. Look at my pictures. This is me. See how fun I have.
Literally, there was a guy there printed brochures about himself and would just put the brochures on the table thinking he was getting lines of girls to come and see him. It's true.
And we were so scared. We're like, we shouldn't have a ever again.
And of course, I'm like a kid in a candy store and going like, yay, I got girl attention, right? But then I saw this one and I'm like, wow, you know, this is my wife. And we just, that whole week, we just were like captivated with each other's energy and it was just something magical. I came back again and we did some sightseeing around the country. And then the third trip, I wanted to bring my son because I figured, you know what, before I invite another woman in my life, I have the son, I'm a single dad, I want him to feel part of it. Like he felt part of the meeting, the courting, and making her part of it. So we did that. And she was smart enough to realize, you know, she's relationally savvy. They're not going to try to be their new mom. So the best I can do is be his friend. And so my son quickly, and I looked how always just, she dressed elegant, and even at the playgrounds, you know, but Chris even said, you know, our life is just more fun now, Dad. And then, of course, we made the journey to come, welcome to America. And then I had to deal with the fact that the girl in the back is my daughter, who was older than my wife. And so, but you know, this is where the kids have the cynicism, what's Dad up to? It's a midlife crisis until they meet her and they go, wow, this is a really classy person. You did good, Dad, you know? And so I had to go through all that. We got married. And then I had brought her home to, at the time, I was the economy was great. You guys remember 06? Yeah, baby, bring it back! 06! And we had a great time, and this is the car I had, the house I had, and by 2010, it was gone. And the business collapsed, and we had to move out into a condo that my parents weren't using, and I was devastated. And to me, I lost all the rental properties I had, I lost the cars, and we were picking up the pieces. And this is where, of course, you're devastated. What happens next? And I want to let you know what happened. This wonderful, wonderful person who had a different perspective on relationships and relationship to the value of money, you know, she married me because of this energy I have. And she says, babe, where's my happy American? Come on. This is ridiculous. Look, money will come and money will go. It doesn't matter. We have each other. So she goes, look, I'm going to help. I'm part of this. We're together in this. She goes, she got up at 1 o'clock every morning, went to work at a union bakery to pay and keep the food on the table. And she says, you're not getting an hourly job. You go figure out your next business. And so I went out and I went out and tried to start an app company. It didn't work. I did work in Paramount Studios. That didn't last. But she was my big cheerleader, you know. She just was beside me the whole way through. She gave me real perspective on what's important in life. And I've had guys who I tell my story to, and they, how do you emotionally survive such a devastating crash? I had somebody that offered me a different world perspective on what's important in life.
In my country, if you have your half, which is goes down, you don't kick it. You give your hand and say, I'll help you wherever it is. And that's how Ukrainian family works. If you have a problem, you don't do worse because you work it. In Ukraine, we have so many problems and we work it. In America, you're so happy when you have one problem, sometimes you just block yourself, but you don't know how to deal with it. And then everything goes to bad because you don't know how to do this one little problem. So that's why, you know, for me, I was happy to do this because I was for 2 years housewife, had a great time, I was enjoying, relaxing, and then when this happened, I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna go back to my regular life. I'm gonna work, now I have a husband, I'm happy with it.
Yeah, and she can contribute. She wanted to feel like she was part of it. In the background, this business was growing. I had written a book and did my piece to say that I believe sincere people can meet overseas. We got on this Today Show, all the stuff I just showed you. And we were challenged because even after I did my book piece, even after we were on Dr. Phil, all these different shows, guys would try to replicate my success. And they go, dude, we're only still finding scammers and bad stories and horrible websites that just want to take our money. We're not finding these sincere people you're talking about. And yet any of you who have traveled know, you know, once you get past the tourism level and you deal with the people that live there, they're wonderful people, right? Even in America, if you were to come in off the tourist boats, you know, for sightseeing, you know, there's people that take advantage of those people and want to charge them 3 times as much money. And the same thing's true overseas. But you know that the majority of people, you know, are really warm-hearted, and I wanted to introduce that. So we decided to create a system for introducing real people from both sides. And so we created Dream Connections. We had a unique concept. The goal was to create more couples. And literally, we did this for 2 years without taking any money because it was a passion project. We wanted to prove a point. And we pre-qualified men and women who were actually ready for a life relationship. So if you're still in the dating phase, I totally get it. You're not on my trip. But if you're ready to actually wake up every day with somebody like this, we go through a series of interviews. You'll go through. My rules are simple. It's like, one, you are ready for a life partner. And second of all, it's somebody I'd like to actually spend a week with because I go on all these trips. And then from there, you'll meet my wife or Ira, and they'll interview you about the girls and what you're really looking for. And we do some matchmaking as the process goes through. We educate people. You're required to go through 7 hours of my training, which has to do with, you know, what are they looking for? When they ask you a question, what's behind it? What do they really mean by it? How do you make a good first impression? How do you have good dates? What's appropriate to close a deal during the week? How do you deal with languages? How do you sail into the sunset? All these kind of things, keeping momentum going when you get back home. You come prepared and relaxed. You got it. You know what's going to happen. Second thing is we create an environment that's respectful, safe, and fun, mostly for the ladies. My wife runs the overseas operations. So people ask, how do you guys work together in business? She does overseas operations. Do the teaching and training, deal with the guys on the American side. And so we both do very well together, and the two don't cross very often. And it's awesome. We really love working together. Coaching, we're there on the site. Everybody gets a personal assistant translator. Couple support, we're determined to help somebody make it through marriage and beyond, and we create community. So that's the overview. Now let me tell you here's actually how it works. I'm gonna go quickly with what we do in business, because to me, you have to understand visually, how can somebody actually make this work? How can somebody sitting here find your half in another country? That seems crazy. That seems crazy. But let me ask you, let me do a quick survey. I'm curious this. We go to three different parts of the world. We go to Asia, we go to Latin America, and we go to Ukraine. Have any of you guys ever in your heart thought, you know, maybe you had a slight propensity one way or another? I'm just curious. I'm going to ask for if some of you like Eastern Europe, if you like Latin America, or if you like Asia. Here we go. First of all, those like Eastern Europe, who would be in that camp? Who are really just, they have to admit, I really enjoy Asian. Asian women are just something really hot for me. And Latinas, how many are Latinas? It's a thirds all the way around. Excellent. Well, our business model works. That's fascinating to me. And listen, what I tell guys is this is the same thing I did. When I first started, my story was in Latin America. When I decided I want to marry somebody and learn about these romance companies, I just started going through their profiles to see, where am I drawn? Where's my heart drawn? I looked all over the world. I found 65% of my, when I marked a favor, was in Ukraine. I'd never been there. I didn't even know where it was, but I followed my heart. Listen to your heart. Listen to your heart. Don't go to your grave with your question, I wonder if it was there and it didn't check. So I teach on all kinds of stuff. I teach the science of flirting. Oh, by the way, the science of beauty. I really go into this. I believe beauty is critical to a man's soul. And then we take you on what we call a quest tour. First thing you do is you're assigned a translator. This girl is not on the clock. She's with you as your assistant, your buddy, your partner. She's your sales rep. She'll help the girl understand, no, I've been with this guy. He's actually really cool. You know, he's really chill. And she'll help you understand where that's at, how to bring flowers, when not to. And then I do some coaching before we go into the main event. We have this big dinner hall. And the girls come in, they've already been invited based on the guys coming. This is where we do the matchmaking part. We invite based on the guys coming, and they get their name badges, sit down. My wife makes sure she chats with them. She wants to always make sure everybody's good and gets it. And then the guys, you're going to spend 15 minutes at a table just conversationally. You're not trying to date them. You're just trying to see, is there something cute? You know, you may talk about movies. You may talk about wherever you live or what they do. And then after 15 minutes, you get up, your translator stays, and she asks the girls, would any of you like to go out with them? And they have to write down a phone number in their own handwriting. And so what you're doing is comparing those who said, I would love to go out with this guy, and the ones you're saying, oh, I felt something there. And guess what? Most of the time, those two things line up because I teach chemistry. Chemistry lasts. Chemistry rocks. Chemistry builds lifetime relationships. Anyway, more on that later. The finale at the end of the week, at the end of the 9 days, we have this great finale dinner where you just see kind of who rose to the top at the end. You're going to go out and meet about 100 women, three at a time, and then over two different days. And the whole thing's just been a wonderful thing. We've just been able to create marriages, lifetime friends. We've had people from 19 countries, all different age ranges. And of course, my staff isn't hard on the eyes either. So we hired translators, and then these are just some of our couples. We get invited to be part of weddings. You know, Lauren was going to be here today. She lives here, and she had a cough, so we felt bad she couldn't be here. Great stories, all these people, we just love them. She was one of our translators, actually. And just all the stories here, I could go through and just tell you, there's so much fun. But I want to just turn this back next over to my wife, let her talk. I'm going to go through these. What I want you to understand is, why would you go overseas? What's so special and different? And I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to turn to a salesman here. What I do is, the guys come back all excited, and I go, well, what did you see? What was your opinion? So I've always journaled and taken down the 9 top things they say they thought were unique. So I just mention what they are and let her comment on them. First one, he says they're very feminine and proud to be women inside and out.
That's true, because again, like I said, we're watching movies, we try to be beautiful and at the same time really feminine and really strong as well, but we never show our strong side. You know, like if me and my husband, if I make more money, I'm not gonna say, oh, you don't make too much money, what's wrong with you? Like, no, I mean, like, I'm not making a lot of money, I'm doing the same time as you. I'm not gonna tell you that, just don't be ridiculous. But my point is, like, we are really proud to be ladies. We try to be a girly, like, I try to be that there too, but if I have to fix something in the house, my husband is around, I can do that too. You know, I can take a hammer or a drill or something and I can fix it. We are really kind of like a multi-soldier wives. We can do anything, but we love to be feminine.
Next one is authentic and down to earth. In fact, almost abrupt in their communication. It takes guys back sometimes that what they say is actually what they mean.
Yeah, sometimes I speak really direct and really short to the answers, and guys are like, no, say it again. I'm like, because my husband sometimes speaks twice because he's American. We say it once and we're like, we're really short on time. We're like really open to any kind of conversations and we're really truthful about them.
Yeah, you can have an honest conversation. Maybe the first book I read in this, I was fascinated because the guy said, I talked to this girl and tried to make a move to go to bed with her on the first date, and she was shying back. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I feel bad. He goes, No, you're a horny man. I totally get that. I don't want to at least wait a couple of days. I don't want you to think I'm a slut. You know, but they had no problem with the conversation and answering. They were very direct. I get it. They appreciate and respect men as just part of the culture.
Yes, because for us, it's like a treasure, like a precious. Because, well, first of all, we had a war, World War II, and we lost a Ukrainian man. So after the war, we had really lackage of men. And then those men come back, they start drinking, it's not like in America. Sometimes people here go in the gym, they try to take care of themselves. In Ukraine, they drink, they smoke. So when you find a really, really good guy, you hold on to him because you know he's a great guy, he's gonna be for the rest of life with you, and he's just amazing, and you're not gonna find something like this.
I mentioned this very carefully. Dating age women are less than 10% overweight. This is true. Dating age is from 20 to 38. It's generally the age they call it, over their dating age range. There's hardly a fat one there. And part of it is lifestyle, part of it is health, part of it is fitness. You see some of the babushkas, you know, they're, you know, older, you know, get a little round, but it's like they eat healthy and they're fit.
Actually, when my mom was young, it was fashionable to be a little bit chubby. And then, you know, after a few years, it started being fashionable to be skinny because of Hollywood movies. And lots of women, well, they don't get overweight because we walk everywhere. Like in high heels, we use the buses, we walk, and that's number one. Number two, we eat a little bit. And we don't eat McDonald's, we don't eat out food, we eat home-cooked food from our grandmas, which is healthy and really nutritious. So that's how we stay fit.
They expect the men to be the man. They just do. And I just answer this. You go on a date, this is where I teach the guys. You don't go over there and say, where would you like to go? You work with your translator ahead of time. You don't know the city. She does. You go, pick a place. Where do we want to get? Talk to your translator. Help me out. So, yeah, I really thought it'd be really cool tonight. We go to that sushi place, and you bring her a flower, and you just watch them go, oh, they like you said, in the sub thing you love is the fact you can relax. Somebody else is in charge. Just take over. Let it be an oasis for my life for a little bit. And the women love that about men.
Yeah, because lots of girls are working so hard and they get so tired and they don't want to be in charge of a relationship. I mean, it's 50-50 in my chance, I mean, my opinion, but I think when you start dating and when you have a strong man who can make decisions in which you're okay with it, then great. And then if not, you can solve something together.
Yeah, and of course, if then she steps up and says, well, if you don't mind, I'm allergic to the food there or something, then of course, you know, we're not jerks. When guys said they had traditional guys asked, what do they mean? So really, they talk about this strong work ethic because they don't have union breaks. They work crazy hours, really high value placed on family and elders. And even if they just respect parents, whether they deserve it or not, just because of their position, it's very interesting. And the Asians are much the same. I need to move a little faster here, but I wanted to just go through this real quick.
Okay.
Okay.
Agree.
Agree. They love to identify with their man. This is the first thing I tell you guys. If you want to know if a foreign woman's into you, especially Ukrainian ones, just start referring to you as her man. This is my man. It's that possessiveness bringing you into her circle. They love it when they're shown romance and chivalry. They blossom because the guys don't give it there. They don't have to. There's a choice. I actually interviewed a Ukrainian sailor who says, I get to have a different girlfriend every month. It's, you know, and you watch these beautiful girls walk by and the guys are like, whatever. And then educated. I don't know if you know this. Ukraine is one of the top, number six in the world for literacy. 99.7% literacy rate. The woman who runs our little office in Nikolaev has a PhD in education. Crazy. They're very educated and sharp. And then they're very comfortable and healthy with human sexuality. Okay, that's it.
Well, they just make it fast, so I'm like, making my comments.
They would love for you to add a comment on the last one. Nope, okay. So, avoiding scams. I want to let you guys know why what we're doing is different and working and how scams work. Because here's the chart. If you understand this, you're free for life. I've done lots of talks, but I boiled it down to one slide. This is the only slide you're going to get on scams. It's the only one you need to. International dating is not like Match.com. It's not eHarmony. In those places, you register on a site, and you get to talk to everybody there. The problem here is you have foreign languages. And so what you have is middle sites. The mega site are the big English-speaking sites. The only ones you can go to because everything else is in Russian, right? So you go to this English site and it has all these pretty girls. Write to a girl. What they do is they don't even know the girls. They contract out to the Russian language or Ukrainian site. Little agencies have 10, 20, 30 different girls, you know, maybe 200 girls in their little agency. They contract with a parent company. Parent company gives them a dashboard login. So the girl comes in the morning, the translator in the foreign country, and she logs into the English-American website. She may be in charge of 20 girls. So she comes in to see how many letters were written to her girl that she's in charge of. 98% of the time, they will actually write on behalf of the girl, and the real girl doesn't get your correspondence. The translator will go through a questionnaire that they fill out. They go through 50 questions, name your dog, name your cat, your cousin, your aunt, sister, and one of the agencies we knew had 20 pre-written letters, all ready to go. You're on letter three, you're on letter six, you're on letter seven, and they just change the different information based on what you ask, send it back out. And you're paying fees for all this stuff. I have a really funny one I'll give you links to later where what they do is try to get on video chatting and all kinds of stuff. When we first opened up, we didn't know. We were trying to find sincere girls. We had people come in, I'd like to be a video chatter. What do you guys pay? We were like, what? They have ads for professional entertainment. Pretend to be a boyfriend for an American guy for money. And then on these video chat sites, it's insane. So there are sincere girls like my wife who signed up who heard it's a good thing. There are other ones who heard that you can make money off it, and then there's ones that work there. They know what the deal is. And so very rarely do the real girls actually interact with you at all. A year after we were married, my wife's profile was still on some other site and guys were writing to it.
It was actually a funny story. My agency who signed me up, they made a photo session, they did everything, and I didn't went online. I had to wait for 2 weeks. And I met him in the first week. And I'm like, I'm down, I don't want to be online. So like, no.
We haven't made any money off you.
We didn't make any money, and we spend money, and so you have to be online. Plus, what if it's not going to work out with him? What if you find someone with a helicopter in the pool and everything?
I didn't have a helicopter, so I guess I didn't qualify.
So I'm like, I guess I'll stay on the side. But anyways, it was writing from my name to other people, and sometimes they were calling me and say, hey, this guy said this, and I'm like, well, you know the answer to him because I'm not interested. So most of all girls like that, you know, and I was wanting to get out, and they didn't let me. So that's how it works.
Yeah. We're going to end on some Q&A here, and we'll just go from there because I think we've covered a lot, and I've got the top five Q&A, but I'd love to just take time to answer your questions too, and we'll wrap it up because I know we've got other speakers coming up. But it's just been really an honor to share this this topic with you. How much time do we have? Are we done?
I don't know.
I need to
you
get
take
off
some
stage.
Questions. I'm right here. You can take some questions.
Okay.
Do whatever you want.
All right. Thanks, brother. Here's the top five we get, and so we'll try to go through these quickly. One of the things people wonder is, are they just trying to get out of their country? These poor people just trying to escape to get beyond their borders. Am I their free ticket out?
Not true. Like I said, I was really happy until I realized I wasn't unhappy. All my life, I was like, I love this, I'm working, I'm doing this, everything, but until I came to America, I realized, oh yeah, it was sucks.
Yeah. And by the way, I get this one a lot, and the insult is, Here's the psychology, guys. Please understand this. When a guy says any one of these things about why they must be desperate to get out, here's what's going on in your psychology. What you're saying is, for a beautiful woman to want somebody average like me, there must be something wrong with them. Right? She snickers because she knows it's true. It's the gut reaction. And it's our insecurity to realize that, to understand that in their world, they're dealing with the exact opposite dynamics we do, and they're really looking for something different other than the bigger, better deal. Or to get out of their country. They're not looking to get out of their country. They got four generations of family there. Oh, by the way, I gotta tell you, I didn't tell you this, Al, but the first time we had our long date and I realized this girl is on it. I mean, she'd seen more American movies than I had, right? And I'm going, well, if you know that much about culture, if you came to live with there, do you have some concerns? And she goes, yeah, I got two of them. Okay, let me have them. She goes, well, first of all, I noticed, like, as soon as your guys are 18, you guys leave home. You guys are all over the country. What is with that? I got four generations of family. I can go to my great-grandma's house right here in town. And I said, that's a really good observation. And I said, what's the second one? She goes, what is this about psychiatrists? Don't you have mamas to cry on? They get us. They just want a Western man's money. Do you want to answer that? Well, obviously, if she did, she would have left me after I lost everything, so.
Yeah, I mean, after 2 years of being married, we lost everything, and I stayed because I love him, not money. I mean, money you can make and make more or lose.
During the whole time we were dating, she never asked what I did for a living. She never asked how much money I made. And even before our wedding day, she goes, do you need me to sign something that says I don't want your money if this doesn't work out? You know, people totally underestimate, devalue the value system of these people. What is the real story between age differences?
I can say that.
Okay, wait. Okay, here, I can have fun with this for a second. First of all, we're going to have fun here. Guess her age today. You guys probably already heard it from the slide presentation. What's her age today? 28, right, you got it. What's my age?
52.
Shut up, you guys know.
35.
So what's the, it is, I'm 53 actually. Just turned and my wife got me a Camaro for my birthday. God bless her. So the real story is this, though, is on the age differences. They're not looking particularly for, like, an old guy. Like, you see some stories about the Asian communities where they have a 7-year-old guy with a 20-year-old girl. They're not looking for that. What they do, though, is, like my wife says, they really believe in the men she dated, and the guys in their 20s. They're just trying to sow their wild oats. So if they want to settle down and find a guy for marriage, they believe he's got to be at least in his 30s or older to be solid, stable, actually ready to commit to a solid relationship.
Sure. No, for me it was because so many men cheated on wives. I'm like, I want to be always hotter and younger, so my husband cannot find younger than me.
I like that one better. That's good. I'll take it. Will she become Americanized? You've been here 10 years. Are you now spoiled American?
I park now next to the front door to the store, not in the back like I used to.
That's true. She used to park in the back of the parking lot, so she had to walk somewhere because she didn't walk every lot of cars.
And because of Jessica, when I came here, we walked like 10 miles a day, and then I come here, I'm like, we have a car and a house and a car, and I was literally like dying to walk, but now I'm parking in front of the store.
No, you know what they're talking about, disrespect for their husband.
No, I mean, it's all the same. Well, most of the thing, because I go back and forth to Ukraine, so I have to stay sharp. There's lots of ladies there, and everyone likes my husband.
I hadn't noticed.
You sure? And no, because I grew up there, you know, I have my own values and no one can change them. I can improve them, I can change them a tiny bit, but it's not going to be like dramatic change. And I am who I am, I think, from, you know, 10 years ago, but I just now more mature and wise.
All right, well, last one here. What about language barriers? And I want to tell you this one, and then I'm going to open it up to the floor, and I'm going to give you guys some goodies here. So hang on with me, because I have some really fun things. I'm not asking for anything, I'm actually going to give you guys stuff, and I'm very excited about it. But I want to answer this, because as I've learned, when I first met my wife, I learned how to use a translator, and it was the deepest, richest thing. I wish for each one of you to experience this one time in your life. As Americans, we are horrible communicators. Do you know that? Do you know what we do? Every time I'm ready to talk to you, by the time you're halfway through your sentence, I've already turned you off. I'm ready. I want you to shut up because I want to say what I have to say. I'm ready to talk now. Will you shut up? Right? And so we have to go through classes to learn body language. Why? Because we aren't paying attention. We don't care what their body's doing. We're in our own head going like, shut up. I want to say something now. And it's horrible. Our level of communication among each other is crap. It's horrible. And the more I learn about this, I want you to appreciate what happens here. So when we're there with a translator, and mind you, when I met her, she spoke no English. Did I mention that yet?
No.
She spoke no English. So I have a translator, and here's what I learned. I'm focusing my energy in her. I'm talking to her like a wadiya with expression. I'm just saying what I have to say. I communicated thought. You know, I live in Las Vegas. A lot of people think that means I live in a casino. And then I'll have the translator say that, right? And so I get to watch her receive the word said, and I get to watch her reaction. And then she speaks back to me in another language, and I hear her inflection, the energy behind what she's saying, and then I hear the words come along. We were having that deep philosophical question about psychologists, about what we want to do. She was bantering with me through a translator. And it was a deeper, richer level of communication than you can imagine. Now, when she realized that we were an item and this was happening, she got on English classes. And 3 months later, I went back to visit her and we didn't need a translator again. After 10 years, that 3 months is nothing. Don't let it limit you. Connection is a deep spiritual thing that happens, and you feel it when you're there. That was the last one I have here. I want to open to a couple of questions, and then I'll give you guys some stuff. Who has some questions? For Anna? I assume for Anna. Most people want to talk to her.
Yes, I've been told. Has to help me, please.
Yeah. It's okay. Go ahead.
I've actually made the mistake in past years of telling my family and friends, and this is even before I knew about Dream Connections.
He's had issues with family and friends accepting the path that he wants to do this. I actually have a video on my site that Juan and I recorded for family and friends to say, we want to help you. Your friend's not crazy. Here's actually how we do this. So we understand that. And the truth is, you have to be on your own journey. Because at the end of the day, the people who aren't in favor of what you're doing, and if you listen to them and you say, okay, I guess I won't, are they going to provide you with somebody?
Never.
Are they going to give you somebody the rest of your life? And what are you going to do? You're going to be older and going, I wonder if I would have. Why didn't I?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You have to walk your own path. Now, since we're short on time, I do want to just jump to giving you guys something. Everybody pull out your phone right now, if you don't mind. This is the time. If you guys pull out your phone, I'm going to give you a free copy of my paperback book and an ebook. This is the Quest Playbook, 27 things you must know to find an international wife. Just if you know how to create a text, open it up and send it to this number, as if you're dialing a phone number, 66866, and just send the word Quest. That's going to get you a free copy of my ebook. In fact, John Henry, where are you? Or Andrew, anybody, grab the box.
Oh, it's right back there.
Grab it. Let's go. Right now, if you guys do that, we're going to give free copies of my paperback, $20, I'm giving to everybody in this room, because you guys are here for the very first time you've ever had this talk. I'm never doing this again. It costs me money. But I want to do that for you guys here tonight. And by doing this, you get on our email list, you get the disc, and just stay in touch. You can unsubscribe anytime you want. I don't care, but I'd love for you guys to do that. As soon as you hit send, you'll get a little text that says if you'll enter your email address, you know, then this will be emailed to you. And then you'll be on our list for now, and we'll tell you about events and my weekly webinars, all that kind of stuff. Next thing is, we're giving you a free copy of my book, so that'll be handed out right now to everybody in the room. Finally, if there is something you want to do to join us, it just coincidentally happens to be this Sunday. I'm starting a 12-week book camp about international dating and personal development, a lot of things. You can learn more about that. I'm just going to leave this up in closing. Here's some of my most popular talks, fresh starts. If you need to get over your bitterness and have a fresh ambition in life to really pursue what you want from a clean place. Relationships. This is why there's only a 20% divorce rate among multinational marriages. Did you guys know that? Statistically, INS tracks the K-1 fiancé visas. There's only a 20% divorce rate among people, Americans, who are marrying somebody from another country. This is what we've learned about these relationships and why they're working. Romance tours, if you want to see what we do. The masculine journey. Brian, I love what you do. I'd love for you to listen to this. This talk rocks. Every time a guy has this, he goes, thank God I needed this. And the boot camp's coming up. And then everywhere we go, we support an orphanage overseas. I have a nonprofit organization called Abundance International. And we take care of kids there. We've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. We built an ICU unit for them to save lives. We built a physical therapy system for them. We bring medicine every month. So if you guys want to contribute to that, that'd be grateful as well. That's it, guys. We love you so much. You have no idea the passion we have for this project.